You know, this is the story that we're talking about over the next 3 weeks is the story of Easter, Good Friday, the Saturday, and the Resurrection Sunday. And I don't know we always talk about these seasons that we're in. You know, I don't know what season you're in, but I imagine that we've experienced in our life highs and lows, right? I mean, you've experienced maybe the birth of a child, maybe the your wedding day, maybe the first job that you've ever had, or maybe it wasn't the first job that you ever had, you know, the raise. You know, you've had some incredible highs, but with in life, with incredible highs come some very tough and difficult lows. I'm a basketball fan, so I'm into March Madness. It's my favorite Thursday of the year is March Madness Thursday. 16 games, 12 hours, and like, it's like what heaven will be like is what my picture is, you know, lots of games. And so, you know, there's this team called Virginia. I don't know if you follow Virginia. Virginia had one of the highest seasons they've ever had in the history of their program. I think they only lost 2 games all year. They ran in the toughest conference in all of America. They won the regular season title. They won the postseason title. The week before they were cutting down the nets. They had high hopes of winning the national championship. They were like on top of the world. They were living a high. They were all excited. And all of a sudden, in one day on Friday, it all came crashing to the end when they became the first team to ever lose to a 16 seed as a number one seed. Not only the first team to ever do that, they were the number one seed overall in the tournament, and they lost it. And the coach gets up on stage being interviewed, and this is what he says. He says, listen, I tell these guys that you're going to have some incredible highs, but when you're on the battlefield playing ball, when you're doing that sort of thing, you also have the possibility for incredible lows. You're going to experience both in life. And I guess that's where I want to start this morning, is that in life, we are going to experience incredible highs. There's going to be some great moments and all some memories that we have. You may have a scrapbook someplace with some incredible just moments in your brain, in your head. You have these pictures, these snapshots of like moments in your life that you're like, wow, that's a gift from God. But in the flip side of that, and by the way, this does not mean that God doesn't love you. It's just a matter of life, the way life works. We will also have some very difficult moments. That's just truth. Anyone in our world, interview anybody, the richest to the poorest, it doesn't matter who you talk to, every single person on this planet will have some highs, but they will have some incredible lows where they just feel alone, rejected, whatever it is you feel. You're just gonna. And I wanted to walk through this series because in 3 days, the disciples and Jesus experienced the same thing. You know, on Thursday, they have this great upper room, what we would call the upper room experience. They're celebrating Passover. Passover is like Christmas, all right? They're celebrating how the Jews left Egypt to go to the promised land, and so they have this great dinner. They're hanging around with their friends. Jesus is teaching them, and it's a very intimate moment, and something they were looking forward to. In fact, what Jesus says is, I eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you. I've been looking forward to this moment. Thursday, incredible high. Sunday, a pretty good high. Anytime someone comes back from the dead that you're a friend with, that's an incredible moment. I mean, that's like the joy of just, wow. But, listen, you can't have the joy of Sunday without what happened on Friday. And I want you to, I'm going to give you what I'm going to say this morning first, all right? And then I'm going to say it. So I'm going to say it both times. But Jesus deeply identifies with what you're going through right now. Buddha doesn't. Muhammad doesn't. Any other prophet doesn't. No other religious leader does. They don't. But Jesus is the only one that truly grasps what your lowest point is. I'm going to go a step further. Jesus has experienced it on a much deeper level than you ever have. Even though you're at a very deep level, some of the things that you're experiencing, I'm going to walk through this with you, but he experienced the deepest low anyone has ever faced on what we call Good Friday, even though it's not so good. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 14. And just so you know, this, if you have kids in here, I'm just going to give you a forewarning. We're talking about Good Friday. And so understand what we're talking about. We're talking about the death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And so there's some very, like, real things that we're going to be talking about this morning. So if you don't feel comfortable with your kids hearing some of the truth of the cross, the gore of it, then feel free that we have a children's ministry over there. But I just want to forewarn that this is not like an easy, we gloss over it, Good Friday, yay, we get the day off, to Sunday, yes, Resurrection Sunday. But just fathom what Jesus had walked through and what he experienced. So we're going to start chapter 14 and verse 10. This is still into Thursday flowing into Friday. Verse 10 says that then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus. So let's just stop right there. One of the 12, one of the inner circle, one of the closest people to Jesus was going to be betrayed by one of his own. Have you ever experienced betrayal? You ever experienced someone like one of your closest friends stabbing you in the back? Undercutting you? Turning on you? Saying things behind you? Doing everything they can to tear you down? Jesus has. Verse 27. You will fall away, all fall away, Jesus said to them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered, but after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter says, even if all fall away, I will not. Truly I tell you, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows, twice you yourself will disown me. You ever felt alone? Jesus did. His closest friends. He's telling them, he's warning them. He says, listen, tonight's going to be a tough night, and you're all going to leave me. His closest friend, possibly one of the three, the inner three, it says, Jesus, I'm your best friend. You know, that's what he thinks. Peter always thinks that he's the best at everything. So he had to think he's the best friend of Jesus because he's going to sit right on the left or the right. And he says to Jesus, listen, them? Yes, I understand what you're talking about when you're looking at them. They're not very smart like me. But me, I will never leave you. If you die, I die. I'm going with you. And guess what happens? Jesus is alone. You ever felt alone, hitting that low spot in life? Ever felt like no one's there? Jesus did. Verses 32 through 34. It says this, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Have you ever been deeply distressed and troubled about what's coming? You know what's coming? Jesus has. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. You ever been to that point? Jesus has. My soul. Like, you can sense the inner workings of him. He's like pouring out his heart. He's like, my soul is so hurting right now, is so broken right now, I feel like I'm going to die. I have nothing left. My soul is overwhelmed to the point of, this is what Jesus says, this is the all-perfect God, to the point of death. Have you ever been there? I'm just telling you, Jesus has. Over in verse 44. Says, now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going out once, Jesus said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. You ever been arrested? Probably rightfully so, possibly. Jesus has, wrongfully, falsely accused. He's been there. He's experienced what it's like to have the sirens going on. I mean, I have you ever felt that way? Just getting pulled over. Like, man, I got caught. Can you imagine if you really knew you were in trouble? Maybe you have been, and you knew what was in your car. You knew what was in the trunk. You knew that you were in trouble. Jesus knows. Jesus experienced it. Verse 57, 58. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy the temple and temple made with human hands, and in 3 days we'll build another, not made with hands. Yet even their testimony did not agree. You ever had people falsely accuse you of something? You ever had people lie about what you've done? Jesus has. Over in verse 64. They all condemned him as worthy of death. You ever been have someone condemn you? Say they deserve firing. They deserve to be divorced. They deserve this. They deserve that. Jesus has been condemned. And he didn't do anything wrong. He's felt. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Jesus has felt the very thing that you're feeling this morning. He has that. There's no other God. There's no one else that walked this earth that fully understands what you have been through like Jesus. Keep going. Verse 65. Then some began to spit at him, blindfold him, struck him with their fists, and said, prophesy. And the guards took him and beat him. You ever been spit at? You know, we can jump over that that verse a little bit. You know what spit really means, right? I mean, I'll tell you, you can punch me, don't spit at me. Spit is like revulsion. When you spit at someone, you are saying, you disgust me. You revile me. You're not worth the spit that I throw at you. Jesus was spit at. He was shamed. They were reviling him. He was beat, punched. So this is what they would do. Someone want to volunteer? Just joking. You don't want to volunteer for that. Blindfolded. Mocked. Hey, Jesus, prophesied. Who hit you? Punch. Gut hit. Slap across the face. You know, it's almost like a little circle. And Jesus is blindfolded in the middle, and he's getting hit from every side, and they're making fun of him because they want him to kind of show that he's got, or they're mocking him that he is not saying who hit him. You ever been mocked? You ever been beaten? You ever been beaten down emotionally, spiritually, physically? Jesus has. He understands. Verse 66 through 72. When Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You were also with that Nazarene, Jesus, she said, but he denied it. You ever notice that this is right in the middle of the crucifixion story? Like right in the middle. Do you ever think that maybe that was as painful to Jesus as some of the other things? He's been there. Let's go over to chapter 15. Starting in verse 6. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barsabbas was in prison and with an insurrectionist who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. And so basically they asked for Barabbas. You ever been rejected and chosen for someone who is not even worth being chosen for? Like, he's all perfect God. He has done nothing wrong. He's healed people. He's brought good to people. He's served them. He's loved them. He's taught them. He's fed them. And you ever done so much for somebody? Like, you've poured out all that you had, all that you are, and all you get in return is them choosing somebody else? Someone that's not so worthy? Someone that's like, what? Seriously? Why them? Verse 16 of chapter 15. The soldiers led Jesus into the palace. Oh, let's jump back to chapter 15, verse 15 first. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. You know what flogging is, maybe. Flogging is like this whip that they would make that would have a bunch of strings hanging off of it, leather straps, and they'd put the glass and bone in the end of it. And they would take some of their strongest men, and they'd put Jesus, and they'd kind of like stretch him out, and they'd take the whip and just, with all this man's might, just kind of like snap the whip at him. You know, one time, you know, maybe a bruise, a little bit of blood, two times. I was going to show you while I was speaking the Passion of the Christ. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, but you watch it, it's hard to have your stomach grasp how many times that they took that whip and they tore his flesh away from his body. So the blood would be flowing and the skin would start peeling back, and then you'd see you'd see the back a little bit, and they would just over and over and over again. In fact, most of the time people didn't even survive the flogging. That's how torn up his back was. Have you ever been so physically whipped? And I know you probably haven't been that way, but been physically just devastated, physically like worn out, physically like you got that, the doctor said something and it just cut your feet out. You ever have like someone talk to the doctor and one of your family members has had this diagnosis? I'm just telling you, Jesus has been there. He's been said, he was there when they said, flog him. He was there when they said, crucify him. He knew where he was heading. And over again, he received that beating. And then verse 16, the soldiers led Jesus into the palace, that is the praetor, and called together the whole company of soldiers, the whole company. They put a purple robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. You ever been, again, mocked that way? Crown of thorns twisted and pushed down on your head? They began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Do you see the ridicule and the abuse that he is taking? And when they had mocked him, verse 20, they took off the purple robe and put his clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Let me just tell you what happens here. You ever have a Band-Aid that gets stuck to the wound? Yes. Let's just say yes. You ever had a piece of clothing that gets intertwined in a wound? When they're removing clothing from Jesus and when they're putting clothes on, you know what that's doing to his back? There's a ripping of that. They're entangled at that point. There's a tying together. Listen, I'm not trying to like give you all of the, I'm trying to let you understand that no matter what you have been through, whatever your Friday has been like, Jesus's Friday was a whole lot where he understands. He gets you. He understands your most vulnerable point. This is not like, some people are like, God must not exist. He doesn't know me because I'm going through this. I'm telling you that only Jesus really knows you because he's been through it. Keep going. Verse 24, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what he would get. They took his clothes off. Let me just, do you know what that would symbolize? That he was crucified outside the city, and they took his clothes off, revealing his, they're shaming him. He is dying with criminals on the outside of the city. He's naked for everyone to see, everyone to laugh at, everyone to deride. And then they crucified him with two rebels, one on each side. They took his hands. And you know the story. They nailed him to the cross. They put him up there. And if you just do the research, you can look this up of how painful of a death that is. You don't die from the wounds. You die from suffocation, not being able to breathe. Your blood is still flowing, but every time that you have to you have to breathe. You have to lift up on nails that are on your hands. Listen, Jesus knows. He knows what it's like to look down as he's dying and see his mom out there and be like, "What? Someone's got to take care of her." On the cross, he's like, "Hey, you, take care of my mom." He knows. And I wanted to, so the question is not what do we do with Friday? The question is not if a Friday's coming. The question is, what do we do with our Fridays? What do we do when we hit rock bottom? What do we do when we're alone? What do we do when we're mocked? What do we do when we're betrayed? What do we do when we're at rock, we're exhausted? What do we do when we're spiritually, emotionally empty? What do we do when, do you hear this part? That he's on the cross and he's looking around. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, he's even on the cross, his most intimate time. We can't even fathom the closeness of the Trinity, right? I try to fathom how close and intimate the Trinity is. How can there be one God, three people tied together? And we're like, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either completely. And yet on the cross, he's saying, my most intimate relationship, and I'm feeling like God's turned his back on me. My Father has turned his back on me. He's felt it. And this is what it says in Hebrews 12. This is what I want to get to. Why did Jesus do this? Why did he walk through this? Do we have Hebrews 12, 1 through 3? Do you see what this means? All these, he's talking about Hebrews 11. I think we read that Friday. He's looking back at all the heroes of the faith. You see all those people, Moses and David and all these guys, all these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it, this running this race. Strip down and start running. Get rid of all the sin, all the things entangling you, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Listen to what this says. Verse 2, this is critical. Underline this or whatever. Who both began and finished this race we're in. Same race that we're running. The Fridays and the Sundays, this roller coaster run. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarated finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, the shame, whatever. Let me put it in the version that I have. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, this is what it says, endured the cross. So this is how he's on Friday. All this stuff that we talked about is happening to him. And he says, he fixed his eyes on something better. He endured Friday because why? Sunday's coming. He got through Friday. He's like, I know what's coming. I know this is bad. I know this is hard. I know this is difficult. I know I'm feeling shame here. I know people are mocking me, but I know what's coming. I can endure this because I have something greater coming. Friday was terrible. The worst day anyone has ever experienced, I would say. And yet Jesus in his eyes was looking past that and saying, man, there's a better day. There's a Sunday coming. There's a resurrection coming. There's relationship with us coming. There's heaven coming. There's me sitting down at the right hand of God coming. There's some great things coming. Let me just tell you, going back to your Friday, that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is the truth. Truth means we can build our lives on it. It doesn't always make sense at the moment, but we can build our lives on this, that there's a Sunday coming. That you may be living in a Friday, but there's hope for a Sunday. You can endure your moment of frustration and anger and loneliness and whatever, this emptiness that you feel, because you know there's a day coming when it'll be the mountaintop experience, that it's going to be the best day you've ever seen. It may not be in this life, but I can guarantee you it's going to be a great day in the next life when we go to heaven and spend time with Christ there. Verse 3 of this same verse says this. And now he's there. This is what his picture was going for. In the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging your faith, when you find yourself on Friday, go over that cross story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot your adrenaline into your souls. This is the message. I'm giving you the message this morning. Do you hear what it's saying? Consider what Jesus has been through and take courage that he understands you and that you too have something better coming. You know, next week, we're going to talk about Saturday because there's Friday, which is tough. But sometimes what's even tougher or a different kind of tough is the waiting. The time between time. You already got through your Friday, but now you're just waiting for Sunday, and you're just sitting there. It's like quiet. It's like birds chirping. Chirp, 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 chirp. You know, you're just like, where? I expected Friday to go right to Sunday. And there's always a time of wait. But this morning, what I wanted to do is I just wanted to encourage you that Jesus understands you. Hebrews says this, that he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he has been tempted or tested in every way. He's been through it. So whatever you're facing this morning, all I'm asking is to fix your eyes on Jesus and allow him to bring courage and maybe shoot your souls with some adrenaline this morning and know that Sunday's coming for you. That Christ, through the cross, through what he did, he guaranteed us Sunday. The why we celebrate Good Friday is not just what he did on the cross, but what he did for us. That guaranteed, that bought us, that he paid the penalty, that all that nakedness and shame and frustration should have been us and is us. And he says, I am paying for it so that you can experience Sundays. And that's why we have such a great God. That there's no other place I'd rather turn. There's no self-help book for Fridays. There's no working your way out of Fridays. There's only Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, there's so many of us wrestling through Friday. And I thank you, I praise you, that you understand us, that you've been through it. You've been through our frustration. You've been through our loneliness. You've been through exhaustion. You've been through bad news. You have been through rejection. You have been almost anything that we've experienced, you've been through and you understand. And I thank you that you endured it for our sake. And God, so I pray that you give us courage this morning. Shoot our souls with some adrenaline this morning so that we can get through our Fridays as well, fixing our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. God, may we fall in love with you more because of what you've been through and what you know of us. In Jesus' name.